This is Jim Sperry. It's March 27th, 2012, Kandahar Airfield, Afghanistan. I'm with a gentleman named Colonel Tate. Sir, just for the record, please tell me your name.
Colonel Frank Tate.
And Colonel Tate, how long have you been in the military?
28 years.
So how old are you?
46 almost.
So you joined like when you were 11 years old is what it looks like, right?
Yeah.
Where do you hail from? Where did you call home?
Charlotte, North Carolina is where I grew up.
And how is it that you got involved in the aviation side of things?
Well, when I was at the military academy, I competed for the aviation branch and was fortunate enough to get selected. And I've been an Army aviator since 1989.
And you've deployed, I would imagine, a few other times as well?
I have, yes.
Can you tell me which deployment you're on now?
This is the fourth deployment since 9/11.
And
second time to Afghanistan.
And just for the audience, can you briefly tell us what it is that your job is and what your responsibilities are, and related specifically to where I've just come from with the medevac folks?
Well, I'm fortunate and honored to be the commander of the 25th Combat Aviation Brigade, and here in theater we are known as Task Force Wings, which encompasses all Army aviation assets in RC South and all of the medevac assets in RC Southwest. And of course you're coming from RC Southwest, where we have a great National Guard company out there that you know, Charlie 1st and 169th, and they fall under our command.
As well as the 171st guys that I was just with as well.
171st as guys as well. Yeah, Charlie's replacing 171st. That's right.
And what's your specialty in flying? Which aircraft do you like flying, or are you tasked with flying mostly?
Well, I grew up flying Kiowa Warriors, which are the small scouts, the armed scouts, and did that for the first half of my career. And I'm also now rated in Blackhawks, and I commanded an assault battalion task force in Iraq. So for the last several years, I've flown mostly Blackhawks.
Now, I understand in the next couple of days, a very distinguished gentleman who's pretty well known in the dust-off community is coming your direction. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Are we talking about Colonel Crandall?
Yes, sir.
Right. Well, of course, he's famous for being featured heavily in a book written about LZ X-ray in Vietnam, We Were Soldiers Once and Young, and then a movie that was made with Mel Gibson, We Were Soldiers. Great book, and it tells all about the heroic exploits of many of the Army aviators that flew in and out of LZ X-ray during that horrific battle, and the amazing things that they did. And of course he was much later recognized with the Medal of Honor, and he is one of the great heroes of Army aviation. He is really doing us a big favor to come and speak to our young aviators here in Afghanistan and give them an opportunity to really touch, feel, and talk with one of the legends of our branch. And that helps give us all something to live up to. And I think that what you saw out in RC Southwest is that our young men and women today are living up to that legacy.
One thing specifically about what I did see with the folks in 171 is maybe something that didn't go on as much in the in days gone by. I'm watching the crew chiefs almost be medics at the same time. It's amazing. I'm not sure if that's common, but what was I observed at Eddie is the cohesiveness between the medic and the crew chief is phenomenal, especially when you have multiple casualties. Can you talk to us a little bit about how that's evolved and the shape that that's taking?
Well, I think it's just a reality of, you know, the medic is back there doing everything he can to provide life-saving support to the wounded soldiers in the back. And over time, the crew chiefs, of course, want to do everything they can to help. Now, they're limited in what they can do based on their training, but anything that they can do within the limits of their training and cross-training that's been provided to them, they're absolutely eager to do so. Once the aircraft is cleared up out of the landing zone, then the responsibilities of the crew chief are lessened for the flight profile. So they turn their attention to the wounded and to the medic and anything they can do to help that medic. And they've learned where everything is in the helicopter, so they can grab things and hand them to the medic and pull on a tourniquet or, you know, do basic tasks to free the medic up for the more complicated medical procedures.
We know that the guys I was just with are in their fourth quarter, and the other folks will take over at some point in time in the near future. Tell us a little bit about, you know, I've seen a little bit of the other folks come in. It's like that nobody skips a beat. How do you instill that into people, that the, it's kind of like a baton race in the mile relay? How do you make that happen?
Well, all of the soldiers coming in the theater are very passionate about what they're here for and what they're going to do, and that's never more true than in the case of medevac. Medevac is a mission that anybody can really get excited about, you know, the pure good of what they're doing day in and day out. And so we set up a system whereby there's an overlap between the incoming and the outgoing unit. You know, you mentioned a baton pass. Well, even in an actual baton pass, if you watch that, there's a moment where the two runners are running together, both holding the baton. And that's exactly what will happen here out in RC Southwest. As 171 is replaced by Charlie 169, they will run with the baton together for a couple of weeks. And then when the new incoming unit has learned all the procedures and gotten familiar with the area, know where all the medical services can be found, gotten familiar with the ground units, gotten familiar with the local nationals, how to work with interpreters if need be, all these things. When that is complete, then the baton will be fully passed. And 171 can return to New Mexico and their home states and be very proud that not only did they do historic work during their year here, but they set up the incoming unit to continue to do that same life-saving work for the following year.
As you may know, the title of my project this time is called 10 Years Later. I'd like to ask you if you can recall where you were about 10 years ago, which would put it around March of 2002, 6 or 7 months after 9/11.
March of 2002, I was deployed to Bosnia. Shortly after 9/11, elements of the 25th Infantry went to Bosnia, and I was part of that deployment. And then when we returned, we began immediately training up to come here to Afghanistan.
I ask everybody this question. Did you think at that point that 10 years later you and I would be having this conversation in Afghanistan about things going on?
Well, I certainly hoped that that wouldn't be the case, but we knew that would be possible. This type of warfare is certainly not easy, and it's never been won in a short time period. And so we knew that it was going to be a hard and difficult, challenging fight. But did we hope to be here 10 years later? Certainly not.
A couple of final questions. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
I don't know. I've been a soldier all of my adult life, and I'm going to keep being a soldier until the Army tells me it's time to go do something else. So I might still be doing this.
Do you have family you'd like to say hello to?
Absolutely. My incredible and beautiful wife, Beverly, who's back home at the home of the 25th Infantry Division back in Hawaii on the island of Oahu.
Well, very good. And as you also know, that's the home of Blue Hawaiian Helicopters, all good friends. I'm sure you know them on the civilian side, and maybe one of these days we can get you hooked up and go for a tourist ride over the volcano instead of a working ride.
That would be great.
Colonel Tate, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to speak with me. And on a personal note, thank you very much for the replacement hat that I was given today. That means a lot to me. A lot. I loved my yellow hat.
Parker really made it happen. He's a great officer, and he wanted to make sure that you went home whole.
Very good. This is Jim Sperry, March 27th, 2012, Kandahar Airfield, Afghanistan.